So, Tracy Olmsted moved to the Gorge with her husband 23 years ago from Houston to find a better place to raise their kids. They first lived in White Salmon on Jewett Street, and she says the first time she pulled up to the house, she thought, I am literally in the middle of nowhere. Since then, she's happily surrendered her Texas roots and is proud to declare herself an Oregonian. When we asked her what Muppet she most identified with, she said animal. Pretty cool. That's my mine as well. Tracy is a massage therapist, doula, yoga instructor, and mom to two boys in two labs. And her story is called 52 Mondays. Everybody, Tracy Olmsted.
So my story begins on the north shore of Oahu. We were vacationing as a family. And it was one of those vacations that was super special because we were with a couple other families and our kids were all grown up and they had lived in different areas, but we were all together. We had managed to get everyone together and we were all staying in a house overlooking the ocean, and it was really beautiful and we were having a great time. On this particular morning, my husband and part of our group had left real early in the morning to go to another part of the island, and we were going to meet them a couple of hours later. And so I woke up to a really quiet house, which had not been the case. It had been pretty lively. And so I thought, I'm going to sneak out and take a walk. So I'd remembered that my husband had mentioned the day before this path that he found. So I went looking for this path. And for me, I wasn't very adventurous. And even though I was on the north shore of Oahu, nothing was going to happen. That wasn't something I would normally go and do by myself. I would have tried to get somebody to go with me. But for some reason this morning, I really wanted to go. So I found the path, and it was beautiful, covered with all kinds of tropical lush, like it was enclosed and sprinkled with flowers, and I just took my time and took pictures and got my coffee, and I was going back to get back on the trail, and the trail had opened up onto like overlooking the ocean, and I just stopped there, and I don't know, I just thought of my husband wondering where they were, and I texted him and I said, what's up? And he texted me back and said, we're about to embark on the journey. So I was like, okay. They're going in the water. Sounds good. So I went back, got everything ready. We got in the car, and we went to meet them, the rest of our group. And we got pretty close to where we were supposed to go, and I got a phone call. And originally, when I got the phone call, I thought, oh my gosh, something must have happened to my son, Zach. And then I got the news that something happened to my husband. And even then I thought, oh, it's Rod, he's fine. He's gonna be fine, it's all good. And so we were told we needed to meet them at the hospital, and we got to the hospital and I realized that things were a little more serious, but I was still thinking, oh, he's gonna pull through this, it's Rod, it's fine. And then we found out not that far after that he had passed away. And for this to happen, was so random and so sudden and out of nowhere for so many reasons. Rod was our Montana tough guy. Nothing rattled Rod. He could just fight his way through anything. And he was the one that was always getting all of us out of a jam. The other thing was that I had just been on this great walk, but a couple of hours ago we were on this fantastic vacation. And so there we were. For me, something else I probably should kind of fill you in on is that I met him when I was 19. He was my entire adult life. Like every memory, he was my point of reference, he was my best friend, and he was my soulmate. And so the idea of having to do life without him, I couldn't even imagine. But we made it through, we got home, but every time I thought about what was next, it was like I was looking in the dark, because everything that I had planned for, my whole future, was all based on things that Rod and I had planned to do, and here we were. So my son had suggested that I start writing in a journal, and he thought it would be a good way for me to process my emotions, and so I did it. And I started writing every day, downloading my feelings at first, just download. And then it became stories and reflection. And then I got to the end of the week, and I wrote randomly one Monday, because my husband passed away on a Monday. And it was like, for me, I was running a marathon, and I was like, okay, I made it 1 mile, okay. And so I decided that I would just keep track of Mondays. And I think I was thinking that I was gonna get to 52 Mondays and that somehow I was gonna feel better. But as I started my grief process, I thought, I'm gonna do grief really well. I'm gonna read a bunch of grief books. I'm gonna talk to people who are doing grief. I'm just gonna figure this out. And what I found is that grief books suck. People who write on blogs and podcasts is just awful. It's just, they're focusing on their sadness and their grief and what they've lost. And I didn't have any trouble doing that. I was really good at that part. What I needed was somebody to tell me why I was going to be okay. Because I kept hearing, oh, you're going to be okay. I'm like, okay, but I don't know how to be okay, because I just keep circling the drain in the grief part. And so about 10 Mondays in, I just decided that I was gonna take control of my life and I was gonna do grief different. So I wrote a bucket list out of things that I wanted to accomplish in the 52 Mondays, and I wrote a list of what I wanted my life to look like at the end of 52 Mondays, and I set off to make that happen. So what that meant was that I was gonna say yes to any experience, I was gonna travel a little bit, and I was going to take a lot of classes and learn new things. So I was really busy, and at first it felt like, okay, I can't do this, this is not sustainable, but, and I learned lots of things. And so I took classes, because I'm a massage therapist, so I took massage classes. Then I decided, well, I've always wanted to be a doula, I'll just do that. So I took a doula thing. Then movement had been a really good thing for me as well. So I was like, I'm gonna do yoga teacher training. And I'm gonna learn to knit. Oh, knitting happy arm. Yes, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna be a great knitter. So I was doing all of that, and I was traveling. And so I think the traveling was a part where I really got to learn about who I was. I went on a trip with my girlfriends, who, they were so great. They did everything. I literally just had to get in the car, and I learned to laugh again. And then I went on a trip to New York with some other girlfriends, and I just had all these really epic, great new experiences. And on that trip, I realized I could get myself out of any jam. I had a disastrous Airbnb, and simultaneously had to get my first Uber. In the matter of like 5 minutes, I had booked a new hotel and gotten my first Uber out of this horrible section of Brooklyn. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. I can do anything now. And then my third trip was to Baja, which I was like, I'm never going to Baja because that's where everyone from Hood River goes. And I don't want to be around Hood River people on my vacation. I want to go somewhere different. But I fell in love with Todos Santos, and Todos Santos became my new happy place, which for me, I can't even tell you, like, when they say go to your happy place in bar class, and all you can think of is all these places that you went with your husband, and you're like, that's not happy anymore. You're like, okay, Baja is my new happy place. And I learned in Baja to be quiet. I think I had been running from the quiet, and so it was, that was all good. So I'm counting Mondays, and we're doing all the firsts, and we're getting through it, and we come kind of to the close of our 52 Mondays, and we're like, what am I gonna do? What should we do? And I just was sensing it was time for us to go and be quiet. And so the kids and I took our dogs, and we went to Seattle, which I thought, and when I started thinking about the story, I'm like, we went somewhere quiet. We went to Seattle. But, you know, it's like, we wanted to keep our options open. And so we ended up in this beautiful park on Bainbridge Island, and we sat, and we were being really super quiet. And I just, as I was watching the trees, I was thinking about that it was time for me to stop living my life for Rod. I felt like Rod was saying, okay, this is great, you've had this year, you've done all this stuff, you've figured it all out. I mean, you've figured it out enough that you can go do your own thing now, and you need to start living your life for yourself. And it was like, it was this peace that came over me, but it was still like, what am I gonna do with these 52 Mondays? Like, do I count Mondays? Or am I done? And we were on our way home, and we were talking about what do we do with this day? Do we have a tradition, or what do we do? How are we gonna do this moving forward? And my son said, you know what? I'm not gonna give power to a day. And I was like, I'm done counting Mondays. That's it. I don't have to count Mondays anymore. And so I thought about this talk for a while. I'm like, well, so what's my closing? What am I, like, what's, you know, because I can tell you that now I've accidentally became a doula, and now I'm teaching yoga. I'm like, holy crap, like, okay, I just was taking classes. I wasn't gonna do any of this stuff. And so, but it's still like, there's not an end. And then I was looking through my journals and I found this and I thought, okay, this is how I wanna end. I wrote this between week 51 and 50, between 51 and 52 Mondays. It says, today I became aware of this idea that we have to go through our stuff, but to go through and not shy away from the pain and suffering is key. To endure, but in the endure, to spread our wings, so to speak, and invite God to envelop us, to open our hearts to all there is. Love, pain, peace is where the healing is, where we experience oneness with God. It's in that experience, the experience of oneness, that we can truly heal, not forget, not stop hurting, but healing, so that we can open our hearts and lives to what is next, to our purpose. But without this, we will never be truly whole, truly alive, truly living out the purpose. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tracy. Perfect. Well, now it's time for the intermission. So thank you so much to our first round of speakers. Feel free to get up, stretch your legs, refill your beverages in the lobby. We'll round you all up for the second half. Just a short disclaimer, in the second half, we're going to have some speakers addressing some very difficult topics that children might find confusing, disturbing, so we kindly ask parents to use discretion and consideration. You can feel